Vern, welcome to the show. How you doing?
I'm great, guys. Thanks for having me.
Well, Vern, we'll get into some. I want to start, like, you know, you played your solid career in the Western Hockey League. You were an undrafted player, and you opted after your 20-year-old season to say, you know what, I'm going to take a shot at this. And you got a little bit in at the end of that year in the ECHL. Then the next year, you split your time between Norfolk and Roanoke in the AHL and the ECHL, and you really lit up the ECHL. You had like 27 goals in 44 games. You know, some guys opt to go see, you know, now it's U Sport, but CIS at the time. Why was the pro route the best route for you at that point?
You know what? I thought, just discussing with my parents and everything, that I was a bit of a late bloomer. And, you know, I was starting to come on at the end of my junior career. And, at that point, I wanted to give it at least a half a year and give it a go at the pro level. And it was funny, my mom and dad were down in, I ended up being in Roanoke, Virginia, and they were down visiting me. And, you know, we were discussing whether I was going to come back and possibly go to U of A or continue on with my pro dream. And I was getting paged at the mall. This was before cell phones. We were at the mall in Roanoke, Virginia, and my girlfriend at the time, my wife now, she was trying to get a hold of us because we didn't have cell phones, and we were at the mall shopping, and I was getting paged over the intercom, and my mom's like, I think I just heard your name on the intercom. They were looking for me. She called me. She said, you got to get to Norfolk. You just got called up to the American League. So it made my decision a little bit easier to stay and try to push further, and then I got into the American League, and the rest is history.
Fitz, when did you become irritating, or was it always in part of you?
How are you, Stretty? I think I was irritating. Right?
It's nice to talk to you, Fitz, but you were annoying. I don't have to admit it. You didn't bother me too much, but I know you drove some of my teammates crazy.
Well, I knew I had to come back and deal with you in Edmonton, so I didn't want to be too much of a pain in the ass. But I think I was a pain in the ass since the minute I came onto this earth. I know I drove my brothers and sisters nuts and my parents, and, you know, I was always just an agitator. And, being on the ice, that was just the switch I had. And I think it kept me in the league a little bit longer than I probably should have been there.
But you know what, Vern, there's not a lot of guys that are willing to pay that, because when you're the agitator, annoying guy, every now and then, you know, some guy just will have enough and want to take runs at guys like that. How are you able to play that role for that long and really never, you know, be on the receiving end of anything too bad?
Yeah, you know, it's just something I had to do, and, you know, I kind of had an idea where the fine line was, and I always kept it below that line. And, I just did enough to piss people off to just keep the attention on myself, or, you know, maybe spark our bench a little bit. But it was something that really got me involved in the game. And, there were games where nothing was really going on. It was a quiet Tuesday afternoon, and, you know, you just try to get something on the go and get the boys fired up a little bit. And I always seemed that I had a good knack for that. So hopefully I can teach my son some of that.
Yeah, you were fun to watch. Because you could see when you're right. And there are, you know what? I think it's a really good trait when guys, like, because there are some games that are just like, hey, let's just get through this. And then someone would just stir it up, and then all of a sudden you'd have a hockey game going on. And I actually appreciate those guys, because it kind of dragged you into a battle that, you know, you're playing Columbus on a Tuesday night. I'm not really looking for a real battle here. I just want to get out of there, get to the mall the next day and have my $2 popcorn. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And, we had, you know, in Dallas here, we had some guys like that, like Steve Vaught, myself. Sean Avery was one of those guys. And, you know, it just gets the guys drags them into the fight a little bit. And, you know, the coaches love it. It gives you a little bit of energy. And, I mean, there was times where in warm-ups where I remember, chirping guys in warm-up, telling them that no one liked them on their team, and I heard he's a bad teammate. And I actually just heard the opposite at pregame meal. This guy is unbelievable. He's so well-liked in the dressing room. First shift, you know, someone's trying to fight you, and you're like, dude, I'm just joking, like, relax. But it would definitely get the guys engaged a little bit.
Vern, you have one of the most memorable and favorite YouTube videos out there when you impersonated Kevin BX. And I think what people loved about it so much was the reaction you got from Vancouver head coach Alain Vigneault. He could not stop laughing at the point about it. Like, how long had you been planning that one, or is that just a spur of the moment?
No, you know what? Kevin BX and I were we had kind of come up in the minors together in the AHL and played against each other, and we always had a battle within the battle, and we always seemed to find a way to go at each other. And trust me, I knew how tough he was, and I wasn't going to go there. But I mean, he was one of the easiest guys to get going. Like, you could just look at him and say something, and you know, it evolved over the course of like 6 or 7 years. And then I was actually out for dinner with Dan Hamius the night before we played Vancouver, and he told me, he said, you know that you guys hate each other that much. If you guys were on the same team, you guys would be best buddies. Like, you guys are identical. And you know, it ended up being that night where I got Vigneault laughing, but we were at a face-off. I got kicked out of a face-off, went to the wing, and he whacked me on the top of the skate. And, you know, we kind of were tussling a little bit. And then, you know, I would chirp him, and he would, you know, he'd try to talk back to me, but he couldn't really get anything out of his mouth. So I just kept skating by his bench. And finally the camera caught it on in act, and you know, it was ended up being all over. I still get text messages. Living in Kelowna in the summer, like, I'd be at the grocery store, people asking me to do the BXA face. But definitely was my claim to fame out of my long lasting career.
Joe, Vern Fiddler, longtime NHL player, and for, you had a great Fids, you had a great career, man. I have so much respect for you. And I loved seeing you out there playing, especially you're from Edmonton. But when you look back, like, you know, you talk about that ability to get under people's skin and how that helped you. But what were there any other traits, you know, maybe not related to skill, that kind of helped you enjoy this, well, almost 900 NHL game career, which is an amazing feat.
Yeah, you know, there was a few things. Like, I had great mentors over my career, especially starting in Nashville. They developed and really showed me a lot of love at the beginning of when I signed there as a young guy as my entry level. They just showed me so much love, and they, you know, Barry Trotz phoning me and telling me, and you know, that you got a shot at making our team, and you know, just little things like that. When sometimes I didn't even believe them, but Nashville did a really good job just. You know, making you believe in yourself and making you know what your skills are, like being good on face-offs and being an agitator, being responsible defensively. Like, they really had a game plan for me, and that really taught me that if I did those things, I could potentially stay in this league for a long time. And my conditioning with Barry Butt in the summer in Edmonton, I knew that being not so talented, I wasn't a goal scorer, but I knew that I had to be a well-conditioned athlete. And when I took my conditioning in the summer to the next level, that's when I started seeing a lot of results. I got stronger, I got bigger, I got faster, my skating got better. I was working on that. And even though I was in the big leagues, there wasn't anything I wouldn't do to stay in that league. I was always David Roy in the summer in Kelowna's power skating, making sure I was working out, making sure I had the best VO2 at camp. Like, there was all those things that I took pride in. And, you know, at the end of your career, you look back on it, and I gave it everything I could. And there was, when I had to hang up my skates and I finally committed to saying I'm not going to play this anymore, I knew that I had squeezed every game I could have out of the NHL because of the work I put in.
Vern Fiddler joined. Now, Vern, you mentioned your son, Blake, who was, of course, just drafted in the first round by the Edmonton Oil Kings. That'd be a thrill for you, considering, you know, in your hometown. You mentioned you want to get your son maybe to be more of an agitator. What type of player is he, and do you think you can guys really, either do you have the agitation gene or you don't?
Oh yeah, it's a different game now. We're super excited. You know, we're thrilled that he's been drafted by the Oil Kings. Is such a classy organization from what we've saw over the first month here. We're just super excited about that. You know, it's a little different for us. We're going through situations that I've never been through. I never was drafted in any league for that matter. So all this stuff is very new to us, and exciting to have your son be drafted by such a great great organization. And as far as the agitating, he likes to mix it up, but the game's different now. Like, there's not a whole bunch of that goes on. Like, it's these kids are so skilled. They're they have different skill sets than we did back when we were growing up. And we're just focusing on Blake getting better every day. And I hope eventually that we can really teach him to agitate and make other opponents pissed off. But as of right now, we're just focusing on his skate. I'm trying to get him to be a strutty skater, that long, steady stride, and hopefully he can handle the puck a little bit better. But we're super excited to be a part of the Edmonton Oil Kings organization.
Fitz, don't put that much pressure on your son. That's a lot to ask. It's like Strudwick, Niedermeyer, Burray, McDavid, right? It's a lot of pressure.
That's right.
You know, it's funny. I coach my kids too, and it's so funny. And I coach a lot of kids. Like, it gets to a point where I can't even demonstrate the drills because they do them better than I do. So I've become really good at explaining. I'm like a raconteur of drills, because way more skilled than I was. But it is a bit humbling. Like, I played the NHL, and I can't even do what these kids are doing at 12.
No, it's incredible, and it goes to show the commitment from the parents too. They're driving these kids to different skill sessions, and they got mental coaches now. They got skating coaches. They got strength coaches. So, and you watch it in the playoffs. These young kids, even in the regular season, there's a ton of skill set, and these young guys that are coming up. I mean, it's the things that you'd think nobody could ever do, they're doing, and they're doing it at a high pace. So. It just shows that these kids are really committed, and that's what you want to see. You want to see guys that want to be the best, and hopefully the skills and all that work ethic continues to go, and we get even better players in the big leagues.
Vern, who was the agitator that got under your skin?
Oh, man, I used to hate playing against Matt Cook. He had something about him that just used to drive me crazy. There was Steve Ott. Playing against Steve Ott was, I ended up playing with him in Dallas here, but he was another guy that just used to drive me crazy. Never stopped, just relentless, game after game. It didn't matter if it was a Monday night or a Friday, Saturday night. He was all over you, and it always brought the best out of you, but he was always a super hard guy to play against.
We've had Steve on the show before, man. That guy loved chirping guys. I absolutely loved it. you mentioned BX, him and Burrows and Kessler, when they were together, they used to research stuff. You talked about how, you just got to get a guy off a game. If someone heard he was a good teammate, you'd lie and say, buddy, I heard that your teammates hate you. Did you ever go through the media guide of teams to look for information like those guys did?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I always had my ears open, eyes open, looking for new material because, you play against these guys. If they're in your division, you're constantly playing against them. And, sometimes you're saying stuff and then you feel bad after the game. But it's a battle within the battle. And, there was always things that you're always looking to find out, whether he maybe hasn't scored a goal in 15 games or, there's a trade room or something like that. I was always sniffing for stuff around, and I mean, most of those guys are like, they're always finding stuff out that that opposing guy that's got under your skin a little bit, there's a little bit of weakness there.
Give me your thoughts on guy like Brad Marchand. Like, it's rare to have an agitator who's an elite player.
Oh, big time. I mean, that's talk about getting every blessed with all those, intangibles. But, yeah, he was a guy that, we didn't play him. I was always in the Western Conference. We didn't get to play him a whole bunch. But, you talk about a guy that can really bring it, who can stir the pot, but also at the end of the game score a game-winning goal and, beat three or four guys. And, those guys are very rare, but he's definitely now watching as much hockey as I do. He's on the top of the list as an agitator, all-star per se.
And, Vern, I got to get your thoughts. You're watching the NHL playoffs. What's been your thoughts on the Oilers and specifically the McDavid-Drysdale combination here in the Battle of Alberta?
Oh, man, it's, you know, being an Edmontonian, growing up watching the Oilers and cheering them on my whole life, I've always kept an eye on it. And, you know, it's hard not to watch. Like, I've never had the moments where I've wanted to put my gear on. But watching these series, especially the Battle of Alberta between Calgary and Edmonton, has really got the juices flowing. And watching these two guys they got a really special group of, you know, skilled players. You know, it just seems like they just take the games over, and, you know, they're getting good goaltending, and, you know, their defense, they're pretty experienced in making the right plays, keeping it simple. And, you know, I thought they were going to have a little bit harder time with Calgary, but, you know, that McDavid and Draisaitl have really taken it to another level. And, you know, it's a pretty hard tandem to defend when they're both going, never mind just one of them, but they're both going. And I really hope the Oilers can make a run. I think if they get by Calgary, I think they're going to be a tough team to beat.
Vern, always good to catch up with you, man. You're welcome back on the show anytime, and we'll follow your son's path to the WHL very closely. Probably see you in Edmonton for quite a few games now. Get back to your hometown to watch him.
That'll definitely be happening. I appreciate the reach out to have me on the show. Best of luck to you guys down the stretch here.